This is the Adventures in New America mailbag show. It was originally scheduled for broadcast on Friday, March 29th, 2019. I'm Tristan. Here's Steven to tell you why the show is 2 months late, and it's not his fault.
So what had happened was, last couple of years I've been having strange illnesses that would pop up every once in a while, and the doctors couldn't explain them. Overall, it was pretty run down. And then in January, or February actually, I had an MRI that revealed a tumor in my head. It was not a cancerous tumor. It was a slow-growing, rare, but effective tumor that was screwing my chemistry up, but good. And it had gotten to a place where it was time to take it out. And the way that happened would be through endoscopic surgery, where they take it out through my nose, so there's no incision. So as major surgeries go, it was on the minor side. But still, my first time in the hospital, my first time facing anything like this, the wonderfully cosmic thing was that the doctors scheduled it in a way so we could, the date they chose was, I was like, all right, so we finished the show on this week, it comes out that week, the next week is our wrap party, and the next week is surgery. So it was a pretty clean boom, boom, boom. We're going to get it done, and then I'm going to have this event. And so the day after the wrap party, I recused myself from any and all Adventures in New America business and submitted myself for this procedure. And it was a complete success. And now here I am. Back of Tristan, back in our home office where Adventures in New America was born, feeling good. The one thing I haven't had time yet to do is to really contemplate what it has been like to produce this show, which is about a guy who has a tumor, to play the guy who has this tumor, and then to find out at the tail end of that process that I myself have a tumor. I haven't gotten there yet, possibly the summer.
And for anyone still listening, what Steven just said is he had a brain tumor, and they went into his nose with these sticks to pull it out of his brain.
That's right.
And then for 6 weeks, he had plaster of Paris up his nose, and he had to take a nap after every five steps. So now that Steven doesn't have any more health excuses... We're making the second season. You can help with that. We have a Patreon.
Yeah.
It's patreon.com/newamerica.
Yes, patreon.com/newamerica. Super easy.
Also, now that Steven is on the mend, there will be more things on the Patreon.
Yes, I will produce content to bring to you of the behind the scenes of the making of season two. Influences and ideas.
We're gonna do some commentaries.
Yeah, and more little videos
and fabulous little things. But really, it's just we need to raise a little bit of money to make the second season.
All right, so shall we do some questions?
Yes.
All right, so these are questions that were emailed to us oh so long ago. This is Blake from Gainesville. And Blake says, "Hello, I love this show. Thank you. I don't always understand what's going on, but I listen to every episode. My question is the entire show written by only two people? And how do they get hired? Is the show live every Friday? And is there a way to apply to write on the show? Thank you." Well, thank you for loving the show. I think the great thing about what we've been trying to do is, or what we hope has been working, is that the show is a shower and a grower. So if you keep listening... All right, I'll start the question again.
Oh, my God.
The show is written only by two people. It's written by me and Tristan. And the way we got hired is, well, we sort of hired each other. We became friends and collaborators many years ago. And that's how the show gets put together. Is the show live every Friday? No. Tristan had a dream that we would record the show live in the studio with all the actors together, working as a team like the way Orson Welles used to do it. But that's just, it's just not feasible that way.
I've never had that dream. What are you talking about? That was for the stage. We're not wearing suits to record for these people.
I should say not. No, we record the show. Almost all the actors work alone, with the exception of sometimes me and Paige, who play Simon Carr. It's all in pieces that we then stitch together with our amazing editor, Grant Stewart. That's really the best way to not only control the way the performances happen and the way the show moves, but also to be able to rewrite it easily if need be, slug in new lines. Sometimes we stitch it together like a music. Final question, is there a way to apply to write on the show? Tristan, do you have any insight on that?
No.
Hi, my name is Renee, and I'm calling from Seattle, Washington. After listening to a few episodes of Adventures in New America, I went to iTunes to leave a review and saw a few commentators that dismissed the podcast as running on racial stereotypes rather than actually being Afrofuturistic. I was wondering two things. What are your thoughts on such commentary, and what is the racial makeup of the writers for your podcast? Thank you for creating a compelling podcast. I look forward to your response to my questions. Please take care.
Okay. That is such a sweet message.
Yeah, it's a great message. So thank you for listening to the show and for liking it. Well, the writer's room is this room right here with me and you.
Yes, our writer's room is... I'm pleased that the show gives the impression that there's a room full of people who are putting it together. But really, it's just only me and Tristan.
But the racial makeup is... I'm Cajun Creole. And I won't speak for Stephen.
I am a black man whose father was a Czechoslovakian Jew and whose mother was an immigrant from Jamaica.
So that's everybody in the room.
that's how we roll.
And we're both faggots. You didn't ask, but we're going to tell you anyway.
Exactly. And we're tall gentlemen. We got tall privilege rolling for us.
We're both tall.
I mean, the way we looked at the way we would handle race in New America, or at least the way I looked at it, our main characters are black, and everything that they do, the decisions they make, the way they look at the world, runs through that lens, as of course it would. In this society, in this new America. Okay, this is part where I don't want to put too much of a fine point on it because I don't want to demystify other people's impressions of how race and gender is handled in New America. New America runs much more on class, who has what and who can do what.
Some people complain that we're too on the nose with race or bring up racial issues too much. And some people complain that we don't make enough of it. Our thought is once you establish something, you don't necessarily need to keep hitting it on the head. People don't need to be reminded that the character who said something racist continues to be racist.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, you know what? The best part about making Adventures in New America for me is that we got to create a world, a sci-fi fantasy world, that was centered around two black characters, yet included everybody. And it was our Blade Runner and our Young Frankenstein and our... Dante's Inferno, escorted by Miles Davis. Needless to say, it was something I've been wanting to do my whole life. And thanks to you all, we got to do it. And we got to hear season one of What That Can Be.
My name is Harper Quinn, and I have a few questions about New America. Who or what are the Grotesques? What happened to Old America, and what happened to North America east of the Appalachians? And did the arrival of the Alakati have anything to do with that?
Oh, sorry.
Thank you for taking my call, and I will take the answer off the air.
I love the person yelling.
Sound young. I think it might be your dad in the background screaming. He's the one that listens to the show.
That would be great if parent and child were listening to the show at the same time as a bonding experience.
I don't know that our show is for children, Stephen.
Oh, well, there is that. Well, we don't know how old that person was. It could have been
65. The voice of a
12-year-old. That's possible. Children, no, this is for, you know, older teenagers and above.
No.
This show is for 18 and older. Okay, 25.
I'm Siren Harvestar, but you can call me Siren from where Vancouver, Canada used to be.
Hi, Siren.
You just won't let me finish.
Sorry.
I love the show, and I listen from my bunker every night to try and fill the empty void outside and inside me.
Aw.
This show makes me laugh even when times seem the worst. Vampire zombies from outer space, ha. As if those exist. Right.
Keep it. Well, you don't read it right. It should be like, vampire zombies from outer space, ha! As if those exist. Right?
I read it like I'm going to read it. You want to answer it?
What's the question? I wasn't listening. You can call me Siren. You could have, where from Vancouver, Canada used to be. The show makes me laugh. Oh, this person is denying the existence of vampire zombies from outer space. Well, Siren Harvestar of where Vancouver, Canada used to be. Your last name is Harvestar, but you're going to get harvested by these Alishkadi if you keep sassing them up like this. So
burn, Grandpa.
I suggest that you stay in the bunker and keep listening to our show and put a civil tongue in your head.
This one's also from Twitter. Gonna be super upset if Gertrude has been completely recast in Adventures in New America. Starley Kine was one of my favorite voices.
Oh, Starley Kine is one of my favorite voices too. Starley was the first person in the podcast world to say yes, to agree to be in our show. Starley is one of the boldest, baddest, most brilliant people in the game. I'm so glad that she said yes to our show. So what happened is that Starley got these amazing opportunities in Los Angeles to pursue, and she relocated. And our production period was much longer than we thought it was going to be. And when it came time to do the last three episodes, she was busy in LA with the stuff that she was working on. And I was busy in New York getting my head examined with the aforementioned tumor issues. So we subbed in Christy Gressman for the last couple of episodes. But Starley is Gertrude. Starley is the perfect Gertrude. And without going into spoilers, I can tell you that Gertrude is returning in season two. And Starley Kine is Gertrude. So New America is wonderfully complex and also a lot of fun. My question is the show as much fun to produce as it is to listen to?
Who's that question from?
It's from Paula. Well, the production of Adventures in New America was very similar to the independent films that Tristan and I have been making for years and have been working on for years. It's big, yet little budgets. But a lot of fun, takes many, many hours. We had an incredible cast that really brought New America to life. They made New America real, our actors, and I'm so grateful to all of them. And we have an amazing team at Night Vale Presents. Everybody at Night Vale was so welcoming and so sensitive and respectful of our very steep learning curve in the audio-only space. And it was a load of fun. I don't remember much of it. It took a long time, but it was really one of the great treasures of my life.
Hi, it's TJ from Australia, and I love the podcast. Just wanted to ask the question, what are the most profound life experiences from your own past that you feel bleed into your writing and the podcast itself? All right, fantastic. Have a good day, guys.
What experiences from our past have influenced the writing and creation of the show? Well, in the sense that these characters are very personal to me, this feels like the adventure I've always wanted to be on, and the conflicts and decisions they make are very much based on...
No.
Okay.
He is asking you, Stephen Winter,
yeah,
to share a personal life experience.
Oh!
Has bled into the writing or the podcast itself. He wants you to be vulnerable.
Okay.
And talk about you. And it can't be the brain tumor because that happened after.
Okay. Okay. Well, one time when I was like 20 or 21 and still living in Chicago and broke, I got suckered into going to a meeting to become part of a pyramid scheme. And the way the guy in charge of the meeting operated, it was very much like Alec Baldwin and Glengarry Glen Ross. He was doing all this passive-aggressive and aggressive-aggressive, like, you're a loser, your life sucks, and but if you join my team to help sell this snake oil, you'll be better. And it was a friend of mine who had brought me into it. She came up to me and she said, do you want to make some extra money? I'm doing a great job making extra money this way. She was Black and a friend, and I trusted her. And she took me to this meeting where the guy in charge was white. All the rest of the suckers were white. And we got given this heavy put away about our loser lives while she was standing next to him, sort of nodding sagely and acting like, yeah, my life really turned around once I started selling the snake oil. On one hand, I was fascinated because I knew what the con was. And I was also kind of hollowed out because the guy's message was getting through. I was broke. I didn't know exactly what I was going to be doing with my life. I was still living in the city I had grown up with. I had not yet moved to New York where I wanted to go and wanted to make more of myself. And I was still coming to terms with all the things it meant to be Black and queer in this world. And this other Black queer had taken me to this place. And I knew I was always going to remember this. And I also wished I'd had a tape recorder so I could have taped that guy's spiel because he was effective. He even had on a big gold watch like Alex Baldwin did in Glengarry Glen Ross. But I took that with me as a lesson, you know, like not only is the snake oil everywhere, and if you look around a room and there's a con going on, you don't know who the sucker is, then it's definitely you. And you know, it didn't matter that we were both Black and queer. A con is a con, and the game is the game, and you got to learn how to play it. And that was one of my first big lessons, and I take that lesson with me throughout my life and definitely brought that into IA's experience of New America.
Well, it wasn't a profound life experience, but one time I was outside a cafe and I saw this goth kid. They were selling school uniforms next door. And outside the school uniform place, they had this huge American flag that like touched the ground, just like in violation of the flag code. But, you know, it was touching the ground. And this goth kid in platform shoes got out of his car and walked right into the flag. And then he hissed like a cat. And he tried to extricate himself from the flag. And it was like he was dancing with it. And it was this whole thing. And that's where I got the idea about vampires who don't care about God, but they don't want to be fucked with patriotism. And that was in 1998.
So he was acting like the flag was on fire or something?
He was acting like it was like entirely made of roaches. You know, like you walk into something that's entirely made of roaches and you're trying to like get the fuck off me, but it's but there's wind and it's a big flappy piece of cloth. And you're in platform shoes. And this person, this goth kid, is now a lobbyist.
You know him still?
Yeah. Yeah. But it wasn't necessarily a profound experience, except it is the seed of the Tetchy Terrace Vampire Zombies that later on when Steve and I were trying to write a screenplay that had two types of magic and still worked, I pulled up that idea from my journal and then, you know, and things developed from there. That's it on these sheets, except for the sheet on the ground over there. This is from Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Season one has ended. Alas, I'm hoping so much for season two. It's the most creative thing I've encountered in years. Why isn't this the most popular podcast in New America? Loving the transmedia elements, although I got no answer when I called 718-64-MONEY. Alas, I'll look forward to more content here. I'm going to tell all of you people who are still listening, for God knows why, a secret.
Oh, snap. This is a Tristan secret.
And this is in American telephone exchanges. You've got three parts. You got the area code, you got the prefix, and you got the suffix. The prefix for any area code will never be any other area code. So if you want to make a fake number, you don't have to do 555. You just have to find another area code that's already in use, and you make that your prefix.
Oh!
Do you really understand what I just said?
Yeah, you're saying instead of doing a fake number like 718-555-4646, you could do 718-212-6466.
Yes.
Oh! Well, I'll keep that in mind for season two.
Good. I look forward to reading it. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for listening to our mailbag show.
Yes, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.